after 6, 7, 8 months, I don't know how long, Bachelor Chat with Beauty and the Beast is now back. I'm your host, Scott Picard. I bet you're all wondering why, especially all you new listeners, why it's season 1, episode 1, but you're saying, why are you back? It is because I am an idiot. I fucked up. As you know, we didn't do Clayton season, didn't do any of the drama in between it. Now we're back. Gave me 7 months. Bachelor, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelorette. It was like 3 straight years, it felt like. Every day during COVID, we were doing a podcast. Worn out. I was tired. Couldn't keep up editing. So we took a break. Then, my dumbass forgot to keep the login. Didn't check in for like 6 months onto the account. We use a platform. I don't really know how to do things because I'm an idiot when it comes to technology. I only know how to talk into a microphone, and I'm barely good at that in sports. That's all I know. So my dumbass wasn't good enough to get this out. Basically, I forgot a password. I changed a bunch of credit cards. Got that Amex Platinum. Let's go. No free ads. But I mess up, delete everything, lost a bunch. I still have a bunch on my hard drive, but it just doesn't make sense to upload them all. It's way too much work. So we're starting over. It's season 1, episode 1. We got the first ever time we have Bachelorette. Season 19, 2. We have Gabby. We have Rachel. I actually think it's going to work out very well. I think both of them are good friends. They complement each other. They do very well, you know, bringing each other up, supporting each other. From what I heard, though, on the internet, so you know it's true, the producers did not like it. It seemed like they were overloaded, worked. It's going to be interesting to see how they tie. There's 32 men, as we know, a lot more than previous years. They have to then tie in 2, you know, bachelorettes into 1 season because it's still the same distance, the same amount of weeks. They have to tie both of them in. Should be very challenging, and also build up enough characters. You know, instead of a Final Four, it's technically going to be a Final Eight, or I think that's how it's going to work. So you got to build them up, and I know in the past, people have gotten sick of Bachelor and the Bachelor franchise because it does seem, and here's my theory, that they're building up so much of the drama and the villains that you kind of, when you get to the Final Three in the last few seasons, you don't really know much about each other. Right? There's so much drama, there's so much animosity, and they build up the character, and I get it's for ratings and TV, but then you get to the last, like, 3 episodes, and you're like, I don't really know much about either of these contestants. You know, even Gabby and Rachel, you didn't really know too much about them at the end. You're like, oh, I'd like to know more and see what's going on and everything like that. So, obviously, the reason why they chose 2 was because of the Clayton and Susie ending. And for some of you who don't see, go back, watch it all. I don't want to, you know, harp on it too much. But I do find it interesting. I was thinking the other day that all these quote-unquote bad endings or the most drama endings ever, seems like all of them are still in relationships together. You know, Susie, Clayton, Matt, James, Rachel, and the way they don't go about the quote-unquote right way, all those relationships are still together. The ones that seem to be working and going nice and smoothly and, oh, I'm happy for them, it worked out so well and everything. Look at Ari. Ari's was a disaster, but he ended up choosing the person that he loved and that he felt he should be with. And they have a family, like a billion kids now. Not really, probably like 2 or 3 maybe, but they're happy. You don't really see them much. Rachel, Matt, they're happy. They're not married, but they're still together. But I mean, the ones that worked out well, the ones that quote unquote turned out the right way and went about it, you know, aren't together. Tayshia, Zach aren't together. Michelle, Nate aren't together. So at the end of the day, the goal of this show is to have, and they say it, have these people find love and find someone they're supposed to be with the rest of their life. So if someone decides to, in my opinion, say, I love you the most, or you're the one I think I should be with the most, or I, you know what, I chose you, but I actually think it's the other person, a la Ari, that's their decision. And guess what? Most of the time it works out. You know what happens when you don't choose the right person? You kind of get stuck with them. You try to figure it out. You're together for 6, 7, 8, 9 months, a year. And then you call it off. And then the person you actually thought you should have been with has moved on. They went on Bachelor in Paradise. Or they're having their great time being single or whatever. And you actually lose out on that opportunity. But the people that, yeah, made the hardest decisions. And, yeah, at the expense of some other people's, you know, I guess, emotions, they still end up happy and they're doing very well. Seems like Clayton and Susie, very happy people. So I don't know. It's the right decision at the end of the day. Matt seems to be happy. Ari and Emily seem to be very happy. So you don't hear anything from them. They're just going about their life and everything. So I think, yeah, quote unquote, not the right way. What right way is there to go about it? Do you want people to just go through the process and then at the end, you know, break someone's heart? You know, Brandon got his heart broken by Michelle. Is that the right way? Like, you obviously have to pick one person. So everyone's gonna heart's gonna be broken. And in at the end of the day, you definitely choose who you like the most out of everyone. There's a lot of great people on the show, a lot of good men and women. That you get to the final three, it's a very good person. So you have to really pick who you like the most. Not like you don't like the last two and you only like one. It's not how it works. That'd be crazy. So that's it. But let's get into it. What I did like about how Bachelor in Paradise started. Sorry, not Bachelor in Paradise. Jeez, I'm already thinking about it. How this Bachelorette season started was they didn't do like five hometown videos in 2-3 minutes. And they just had a couple reactions to them choosing both. And boom, right into limos. Obviously, probably because 32 men, got to get them all in there. I will say this about the limo entrances. There was nothing too crazy. So usually you have a lot of duds and you have a lot of limo entrances that are like kind of crazy and great ones, but you have a lot of cringeworthy ones. There weren't too many cringeworthy ones. They had the guy making the sex joke about not having sex in a year and a half. I don't know what that was about. Maybe trying to say that he's here for them, but I mean, they just got picked 4 months ago. So was he absence for a year before that too? I don't know. It didn't play well. It came off very weird. There's a lot of Clayton songs or comments that just kind of were overdone, and you can tell they didn't like it. It was kind of getting old. The cringeworthy one definitely was the kids singing the choir about Clayton. That song went on way too long. It was like, I couldn't imagine being Gabby or Rachel up there being like, what are we doing? Can we end this? So I would have sent that person home right away. That's just my opinion. Forget who did that. Other than that, for the most part, I thought a lot of good entrances, a lot of guys that are trying, maybe some didn't pan out as funny, but they worked. A gentleman brought a chair, very clever. I'm always down for someone doing something new on the Bachelor entrance or the Bachelorette entrance because you get the same stuff over and over. That chair was, no one's ever done that. That was smart. Couple of good entrances. I mean, if you're not funny or you can't come up with something clever, just do with the third guy. And I don't know. I think his name was Avon Jones. No correlation. I have no connection to the kid. Seems like a nice guy. I believe he played basketball at UMass Dartmouth. I coached at UMass Dartmouth. Never coached a kid and do not know anything about him. Seems like a good guy. I have unbiased opinion. 1,000% unbiased opinion. Don't know Avon, never coached. If you look at pictures, we are definitely not in a team picture together. So did not coach him. From what I've heard, though, great kid, awesome teammate, awesome kid to coach. His entrance is awesome. Relate to each one of them. Talk about how you're looking forward to it. Bring up something about dad, you know, grandpa, whoever. Boom, move on. Great entrance. Props to him. It was funny. I think I know most people that like to watch the show. They watch it in the moment, and in that moment, we're in that like actual episode. I like to do some like more foreshadowing. Maybe it's because reality TV's like fucked up my head, and I just think of all like what they're planning for. But there was one where a guy comes in. I don't know if it was it Tino, Spencer, maybe Spencer, where he walks away, and Gabby goes, ooh, that's my type. I like that guy. He's cute. So it's complimenting him. And then they go to her kind of over-talking, you know, filming, you know, behind in the room. And she's like, oh, I really like him. I hope that Rachel also doesn't like him. Well, guess what's going to happen? That guy is going to have to pick, and it's going to cause drama. I believe they're foreshadowing. That's the best part about the producers. They know what they're doing. Mario seemed to be a little jealous. I'll get into him. I know he gets a first impression rose, but he gives me Jamie vibes. Give a little creepy Jamie vibes. I'm wondering if that's a little foreshadowing. They put a little clip of him being a little jealous in there about something. But yeah, so other than that, those were kind of the entrances. A guy came in on a horse with no shirt on. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm a fat dad bob looking amoeba looking guy, so I don't know what, I don't really take my shirt off too much, unless I'm underwater and no one can see. So God bless him and his Greek physique. But for the most part, people had some good entrances. The guy had some earmuffs so he could talk to each individual one. That was great. And he also separated them and had different conversations. I thought he's doing a good job. So limo entrances, not bad. Good job. We then get into the cocktail hour. And let me tell you, twins are weird. Sorry for my friends that are twins. You guys are kind of weird. The best part was, they go in there, have a conversation with both of them at the same time. Gabby and Rachel are basically like, this is annoying. This is boring. Like, oh, it's dragging on. Feel bad for them. But they asked two questions. They said, the first was, do you guys do everything together? And they're like, no, we don't do everything together. We do some things. And then they get into it. And they're like, well, we went to the same school. But for two of the years, we didn't live together. So there's something we didn't do. We have the same job, but we work for different companies. So you have the same job, you work for different companies, you sell the same thing. I hope for the love, and this is a sidebar, I hope for the love of God that they help each other out, make more money. Like, hey, we work this deal, go undercut me and make more commission, go do this, help each other. I know that's illegal. I don't want to say my friends that I know at ADP and Paychex did that. Do not want to say that. I do not know anyone. Do IRS, government, do not come after me because I don't know a single person that does that. But I hope they do that to make money. After that sidebar, these guys are weird. So there's that. They said, no, we don't do everything together, but basically just labeled everything they do together. And they're basically the same person. The second one was, they go, can you read each other's brains? And one of them, oh my God, goes, yeah, I can. This one time at school, I like will spot them from across the campus. So you have eyes in 20/20 vision. Nice. Reading each other's brain, also seeing two totally different things, but love where you're going. And then he asked if they can read each other's brains, which was a stupid question, but that was kind of funny. Some other standouts, a lot of great conversations that people had. People are getting roses. The guy from Ryan from Boston, he had a good one. He was helping to speak in Boston, and they seemed to go back and forth. She seems like Gabby and Ryan hit it off. I think Gabby is going to grow on me. She's going to be like the Hannah Brown. When they picked Hannah Brown, I wasn't too sure. Then I loved her. She grew on you. She's funny. You get to see more of her personality. Gabby is very witty. She gives it back, talks shit, is very funny. Love it. So they were going back and forth. You can see the humor going. And he was like, I'm going to teach you how to talk in Boston. And I actually had a tweet that I thought was pretty funny. Him talking, he kind of kept it PG, and maybe he did more and the producers didn't want to produce more, but I thought he should have done something more along like this, you know, proper language. Hey, sir, excuse me, you're doing that wrong. Boston, hey, what are you, an idiot? Then proper big, hey, no, thank you. Boss away, hey, go fuck yourself. So I thought those would have been good ones to do. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. And again, he could have done it. The producer probably didn't want to televise, you know, probably cuss words or anything more mean. Another foreshadowing thing I see is Eric. I think it's E-R-I-C-H. He is one of the few people that you see at least get time with both Gabby and Rachel. And he was very upset about not getting the first impression rose. Let me say this about the first impression rose. One, there's 32 men. There's two first impression roses that each get to give out. You have like a 6% chance to win it. To get it, all right, just they can only give it to one person each. So why do you think that, just because you don't get it, why are you upset? Like, this guy is so upset about it, it makes me think that this guy might mentally be crack during this. Maybe a little foreshadowing how upset he was about not getting the first impression rose. He also thought he had great conversations with both people, and I think he's the only one that did that. That being said, they both don't communicate and decide who they're both going to give it together with. They each pick one person. So you could have had great conversations with both, and overall you'd be very high, you know, in 9 out of 10 conversation with both girls. But someone only has a 9.5 out of 10 and a 4 out of 10 with each one, but he had the 9.5, they're going to pick him, the one girl. So it's not an average thing. Get over it. You didn't get the first impression, Roach. You'll be fine. You had great conversations. You set yourself up. Just keep plugging away. I think people get so hurt over the first impression, Roach. And I get that. Usually a first impression, Roach, person makes it, you know, pretty far. But they don't always win. I'd be curious to know. I got to look at Bachelor data to see who wins or how often the first impression, Roach, wins. But, again, the I feel like recently they haven't had too much success. But they make it pretty far. I get that. Just keep focusing, keep doing your thing, and move on. But I think that might be a little foreshadowing. He might go a little crazy, might be the drama person. I don't know. So we get to the rose ceremony, and the girls want to try something different. They didn't get time with a lot of people. It seemed like there's like 3 or 4 people that they didn't get enough time with. So they go to Jesse. They ask it. They want more time. So what they do is they have people they don't feel a connection with. They want to keep everyone but eliminate those. So, unfortunately, it's the twins and the magic guy, the guy that does magic. They pull them aside and they eliminate them. But they keep all the rest. So, there's 29 men left. I think they're probably going to eliminate like 6 or 7. So, 3 or 4 people that they had a chance to get talked to, that they didn't get a chance, will have a chance again. So, good for them. I do like that part. Keep the guys. Give them a chance. There's only so much time you have to talk to everyone. So, we then get to the last part. The previews basically for the whole season, and here seems to be a common theme. It seems to be that the men are choosing between accepting a rose for Rachel or Gabby, and some of them are turning down the rose of Rachel for Gabby or vice versa, and the girls are getting super upset. And I get why. I understand it. But here's what I want to say. Let's put me in this, and I would try to put myself in the situation, and then in the whole Bachelor universe. People are getting upset. I see on Twitter, it's like, we're doing, this show is about the girls in the rut, and the men choose who they want. Well, you pick 2 Bachelors, so they have to choose. Second, let's say I have a connection with both of them. I'm hanging out with Gabby. I'm hanging out with Rachel. But with Gabby, it seems a little bit more. She might be more my type. I'm getting along better. But Rachel keeps giving me the rose. So after like 3 or 4 times, it's like, Rachel's the one giving me the rose. So now all of a sudden I have to just stop talking to Gabby. So I break it off with Gabby. I'm considered a bad guy. Because like, hey, I like Rachel more. I think there's something more with her. And she's the one giving me my rose. Well, then I look like an asshole that's picking one, right? Let's say you don't pick one. Then you get to like the final 3. And you're in both of their final 4s. Both of them. You eventually have to pick someone. So you're going to be an asshole to either one by if you say, hey, I like this person more. So it's like a lose-lose situation. So it's better early on to be like, hey, listen, Rachel, we've had good conversations, but I'm really not feeling this. I'm feeling it more with Gabby, and I want to pursue that. Because at the end of the day, it is the girls', you know, journey, but it is the guys too. It's his chance to, you know, find love too. It's not, I know it's based around the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, whoever's picked. But the guys also have, you know, and the girls have said it, it's their journey too. So I just want to say there's like a no-win situation for a guy who's liked by both, and he eventually is going to have to pick. He can't pick, they both of them can't pick the same guy. So they eventually have to pick. So what are they supposed to do? So lead them on. If the guy leads Rachel on or leads Gabby on and then ends up going, he's an asshole. I don't see the uproar years ago when Ali Fedotowsky was on the show when she was a contestant and she sent herself home. There was an uproar then, but now it's like you get to the final, like, hey, you're basically sending yourself home, being like, hey, I don't find a connection. I'm going to send myself home when there's one bachelor or bachelorette. But because there's 2, you're like, hey, I don't feel as much of a connection with you as the other person. So why would I lead someone on? That's basically, you're basically just leading someone on or being a fuckboy if you continue to just date someone even though you know you would never marry them. That is like what girls would call fuckboy material. So some of these guys, and I don't know, it's just foreshadowing and preview, so we don't know how it's going to turn out, but eventually they're going to have to pick. I do find it funny that some of the guys, and this is my last comment, some of the guys are like, what if both girls love me? Like, guy, you should be, hopefully one of them likes you. Like, that's how I'd be thinking. There's 32 men to start, 2 girls. You got a 1 in 16 chance at a girl liking you with a ton of guys that are, and this is my thing, like, probably funnier than you, better looking than you, smarter. There's always someone that has something better than you. You should be hoping that one of them picks you. You shouldn't be worried about what if both like me. Some of these guys on the show with the amount of confidence, I'd be like, I can't believe one, if I made the first past the first rose ceremony, I'd be like, can't believe this girl likes me. We should maybe put her in some a psych ward for picking me. That's how I would think. So that's it. Again, doing the show by myself. If any of you want to come on, anyone wants to join the podcast, obviously you got to be someone that follows and understands and knows The Bachelor, the series, and is not just watching an episode here or there. Any of your friends that like the show that want to come on, more the merrier. So try to have some people come on once in a while. Download, subscribe, leave a review, do what you got to do. Welcome. It's good to be back. We'll see you next week.